And I'm looking for gold.
I think if,
no, yeah. You know what? There's no digging yourself out of this. I thought we had something. I thought we were friends.
Was digging yourself out of this a purposeful pun? Because that's pretty funny.
Welcome to Coming Off the Reels.
Get it?
Wow, this is a really rough start.
Yo, all right. Digging.
Maybe we should start over.
No, keep it in.
Maybe you forgot to hit the record button, Drew.
Yeah.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, boop.
We need to work through this.
Welcome to Coming Off the Reels. My name is Drew Martin.
My name's Yosemite Sam.
I'm Sean McLean.
And I'm Roy King.
Ooh, that rabbit.
This is our Halloween episode. I haven't decided. Should I post a day early and post this on Halloween? Like Halloween morning, which is a Tuesday?
Yeah, sure.
Why not? I think so. Yeah, totally.
Give it the people what they want.
Yeah.
Less coming off the rails.
If you've read today's post,
truth,
I'll tell you that what people want is Donald Gleason.
Oh,
that's
boy.
How I wrote
lots
it up.
Of Donald.
I refer to it as the Donald Gleason film, American Made. Anyway, for our Halloween episode, we chose to each bring to the table what we consider to be an underrated horror film. And that was it. We just each told each other. I rewatched all four of the films in preparation.
That's nice.
Because a couple of them, it's been several years. One of them I actually won at an Oscar party that consisted of four people, and
nice.
That would be my copy of Severance.
Okay.
Sweet.
So yeah, I guess.
Was that the year that Crash won?
No. That this was when it was like me, you,
that never happened,
and
Ryan.
Felix.
Yeah.
And we were at your apartment over in Amelia.
Okay.
Back in the day.
All right.
So I have no idea what won that year, but I guess since I just mentioned mine, I'm just going to go ahead and start right in to talk about Severance.
Okay.
Cool.
Great.
Go for it.
And Severance it's a British horror film, kind of also a comedy. It's about a group of people who work for a defense company, and they're on like a company retreat in Hungary, I believe is what they say. And they're in their bus. There's a tree on the road. They have to get out and start hiking. They kind of lose their way, and then they come across their lodge, they believe. And hijinks ensue, and they start getting killed off. And that's basically the plot. What?
Hijinks.
Did, immediately I'll say, and you know what? I'm going to be kind of spoiler. All these movies are a little bit older.
It's fine.
Yeah, I say we just go.
They're all
it.
At least a decade old,
right?
Yeah, I think
you should watch
one
them.
Of them are
yeah. Did you recognize the guy who lives?
Yeah, he was in Mean Machine.
That's right.
Yeah, Ryan.
Was he the spit guy?
No, he was the
dummy. No. He was like the dumb guy in Mean Machine.
He was the guy
the final
that
goal.
He gets his.
Oh yeah.
He's an underdog, Sean, and he gets his moment of redemption.
Yeah. Although I found him pretty
irritating on that too.
Yeah.
And obviously, like the head. I mean, like the head of their little party. That guy's been in a lot of stuff. He's in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he looks familiar.
I recognize the girl.
The girl,
blonde hair.
The girl's in The Faculty.
Yeah.
She's also in 24. And taking it way, way back, if you watch Nickelodeon back in like the late 80s, early 90s, she was on a show called 15 with Ryan Reynolds.
But what did you think about it? Yeah.
About 15?
No.
I love that show.
Oh, boy.
It was a great show.
Severance. What thoughts on Severance?
I mean, look, I probably introduced you to the film. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I may have won because you purchased it. Because
it's Christopher Smith, and I don't know if Triangle came before or
after this.
But I love the movie Triangle, so I was always looking for his stuff. And I love this film. Like, again, it is kind of a wink-wink, nudge-nudge. It's
really weird. And
it's almost, I want to kind of say it's home invasion-y, but it's not because they're in a cabin in the woods. And
it kind of feels like The Office meets a horror film.
Right, yeah.
With all like the documentary cuts and stuff like that.
It's a lot of that. Like even like through 70% of this film, there's still a little bit of like office politics. And
yeah.
You know, we all work for companies, and like that whole like stupid idea of like what team building is and that nonsense. And there's a lot of that kind of speak throughout.
Yeah.
So yeah, I knew, I knew you would love it because Christopher Smith.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it. I own a copy of it as well. So
you two who had just watched it for the first
time. Seen it for the first time.
Yep,
I enjoyed it. I there were definitely some parts that I laughed out loud at. It is weird. That is definitely it is a weird movie, but yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I'd never heard of it before. I had no idea what to expect when I hit the play button, but yeah, I thought the death scenes were all really well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
some of the jokes were really really funny. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
but yeah, good, great
because
movie.
They built like I did not rewatch this film, but they do build up a conspiracy theory, correct?
Yeah. they set like, up the idea that did we find this old
like asylum?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
And they even like flashback to like a Nosferatu type.
Yeah, they did like this weird silent movie thing.
But then there was like the soldiers too that were like euthanizing a village and everything like that. And then there was the brothel of nurses
and those
that were like. Praying on the old people.
That was great.
There's a couple of them tell different stories about what they think was happening in this area.
And it's, again, like for me, we just recorded another podcast. And one thing I appreciate is even though it's a kind of a comedy horror, like they still have some like weird gory moments. Like they have a guy who like steps in a bear trap and they keep trying to open the bear trap and then they keep losing it.
Four separate times.
And then eventually just like breaks his leg off and he falls over.
I felt so
bad
for that guy. He's so like likable.
And they don't have any like painkillers, so they give him ecstasy. Yeah. And it's, again, like I appreciate a lot of the dumbness of it, but it's still...
As I recall, there's a real funny joke about like earlier in the film, they're talking about like what happens if you get your head chopped off.
Yeah.
And then later on, somebody gets their head chopped off. And the whole joke is that you know, like,
he actually stays conscious. He kind of is like, hey, guy.
Conscious for like 15 seconds after your head gets
chopped
off.
He's the guy who explains that to another character. He's like, when Marie Antoinette got her head cut off, she was definitely aware. So when he gets his head cut off and he like looks at his body, he kind of smirks because he's like,
I was right.
Now, here's another one. Do you recognize that guy? I know you haven't rewatched it, so you might not.
No.
This is a weird one. He's the villain in Die Another Day, the James Bond movie.
Oh, yeah. The one where the Asian guy like puts the...
Yeah, becomes like a British guy. Yeah, is that like the diamond?
Yeah.
Is that one the Pierce Brosnan one?
It's the one with Halle Berry.
The one with Halle Berry.
Yeah, So like the last Pierce Brosnan.
I thought he looked... Yeah.
And that was, that was before this. So he's like, Bond villain? I'm going to do this.
I'm going to do my art house picture and then same picture.
It was weird. Like Christopher Smith, obviously, like he was a guy like... Ryan introduced me to him and his career mirrors in many ways...
Neil Marshall
because like they both like Descent was Neil Marshall's and this was Christopher Smith's first one, and then Christopher Smith did Triangle, which was
Christopher Smith did Creep first,
which is
another horror film.
Yeah,
is that the one with Mark Duplass?
No. same name.
Yeah, you're right, that is the same name.
Okay,
but they both kind of came around the scene around the same time, and then both of them made movies that like stop their careers in their tracks for a while. And like Christopher Smith did Black Death and Neil Marshall did Legion.
Centurion
with Fassbender.
Yeah.
I mean, but like they both did like these weird historical things because Black Death has Sean Bean and
somebody else,
the guy from Fantastic Beasts and Jupiter Ascending.
Oh, Eddie Redmayne.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, lots of good actors, but then
they don't really.
Yeah,
the
movie,
but they're really
awful.
They're really dark and boring. Yeah. So, but yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
No,
that's all just the weird stuff about the director. But
there was one scene that I was just laughing hysterically at is when one of the team members she's strapped to a tree, and she gets doused with gasoline and everything like that, and then one of the killers, I won't reveal who it is, but. They're trying to light the match and there's like, doesn't work. So finally you think he's going to go get like a lighter or something like that. He pulls out a freaking flamethrower and just lights her all up on fire. And I was like, way to go from like 0 to 60 in less than 2 seconds.
There's so much, because we haven't even talked about the fact that like the weird guy from Mean Machine on the way there orders escorts.
Yeah.
And they eventually find the right lodge and it's all just weird. And, like, they play
got,
a part.
They got like rocket launchers.
They play, yeah,
oh,
they play
God,
a part in the end. And
yeah.
It's it great. Is. Like, I just really enjoyed, yeah. I thought this did a good job of being like, for a little while, it's going to be straight up comedy, and then it's going to be horror for a while, and then it's going to circle back around to just being like, stupid
yeah.
comedy.
Once
enjoy.
Once I got to the horror part, like, there were some moments that I actually,
very
like,
tense,
jumped.
Yeah.
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 Like, when yeah. when the flame, the girl who gets lit up, she finds a spider in her room.
Yeah.
And she, like, is like, oh, hey, like, they play up the spider being scary, but then she's like, oh, hey, little guy. And she goes and she puts the spider outside, and through the window over her shoulder, like, one of these masked guys just, like, pops out of a tree, like, out of nowhere. I lost it. I, like, jumped out of my seat. It scared the crap out of me. And then there was a lot of good, like, background stuff. Like,
yeah.
when you're seeing two people talking in the background, like, a dude will just walk by
yeah.
or something. And it's just like, ooh, he's in the house?
Specifically,
get out the house!
I remember, like, two of them were, like, having a conversation, and one of the killers, like, dragging a body around
yeah,
in
exactly.
the background. And
yeah.
But you should definitely, and I think Ryan would agree, watch Triangle
yeah,
because it's
yeah.
more psychological horror. But it is fantastic.
I've never heard of
it.
Okay.
It stars Melissa
it
George from Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
Nice. Really
good stuff.
Now, nice. I'm not going to go around the horn because thematically we are all over, and
I kind of
want to like skip because you and I feel a little more closer together than those two.
Okay,
so
that's
true. That's very true.
For sure.
Yeah.
Sean, let's go with May.
Sure. Yeah, mine is vastly different. Yeah, I chose the 2003 movie May. Basically chronicles this woman who's kind of grown up as a loner. She had a rough childhood, and basically she's trying to find her way in the world and make friends and make connections and things like that.
And make friends.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Literally.
And so she through trials and tribulations, she's basically looking for love. And that's why I picked this movie, is because there are some very messed up parts in it, but then at the same time, the bottom line is there is this melancholy, like this sense of sadness for this character that could be really absurd, especially the ending scene with the way it plays out and everything like that. But just seeing everything that she goes through this movie and everything, you feel for her, you root for her, even though she make some questionable choices later on in the movie. Make some snap judgments that you can't take back.
A few.
But,
sure,
yeah.
sure, sure.
So I leave this to the jury of you. What'd you think of this movie?
I liked it okay. I thought that it was really well acted. I thought everybody in it acted really well. But I did think it felt long. Like, I feel like early on you got a sense of where it was going to go, and then it took a long time to get there.
Well, it took a while before you even start getting to where she starts, like, offing people.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, like,
but even, like, in the beginning,
yeah.
you're like, okay, she's going to build somebody. Like, immediately.
yeah.
Like,
and
when her mom's like,
yeah.
you got to
yeah.
make your own friend, it's like, okay, she's
yeah.
going to cut
when
people up and sew them together.
Right.
To
when
make
she's
them.
A kid,
a
her
friend.
Mom gives her a doll that yeah. the mom made herself.
Oh, fuck that doll.
yeah,
can we
right.
talk about the doll for a second?
yeah. Pretty
right.
creepy.
Oh, no thank you.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Now,
that's
this
fair.
This
that's
came
fair.
Out while
that's
you
fair.
And I were in video store
yeah, yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
I remember the box on the wall.
Yeah.
But now, had you seen this before,
I
assume?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you watch it again? Or
I did, yeah.
What did you think, and what do you think?
Well, I loved it originally, and I still... I mean, I understand that there's a lot of build-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe even an unnecessary amount. But I think it paid... We talk a lot about like movies that don't have a very good end. I love the last few shots of this film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
definitely. Yeah.
Like once it got there.
Yes.
Like I was like scared.
And I also,
oh God.
Like we watched Annabelle recently and those movies are kind of dumb and you never can figure out exactly how the doll even figures into it. But this is just a reflection of her.
Yeah.
Right? It's her psychosis.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
like, having it, like, when she's starting to go crazy and the way they reflect that is just in the cracks
yeah,
of...
the glass
yeah.
breaking.
The
yeah.
Right,
because
the doll is encased in glass.
Yeah.
Right. I loved that. Like,
yeah.
I was like, that's really a good
and
way
that,
to illustrate that.
They'll,
yeah.
they'll play the glass cracking noise even when the doll's not visible.
Yeah.
Just when, as her... character gets broken down more through the interactions with her people in her world, you can hear like they'll play the glass cracking and it's like, that's a really good device. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so easy and so much more effective than so many movies that have huge budgets.
Right. So, yeah, right. It's so much more effective than having, like, oh, well, Annabelle is the manifestation of evil, and the way we're going to show that is she's going to levitate in this scene.
Yeah.
She's going to, like, spin her head and look at the camera. Like,
yeah, that's dumb. Like,
okay. Annabelle? Doll from May.
Oh, yeah.
Who? What is more creepy?
The doll from May is
doll
really
from May.
The doll from May is the worst thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
I'll tell you, for me, the Annabelle doll is so intentionally been designed to be scary.
Yeah, with the eyes,
Where there's something about the doll from May that it feels homemade, but not like it was designed to be so creepy.
Well, it almost feels like they may have even like walked into a shop and been like, yes,
hey, let's get
there. It is.
Yeah.
Like it exists somewhere. Like there are versions of this doll that are out there.
There was a little girl that grew up with this doll. And you're like, oh man, this is.
I hope not. Oh,
like they went
boy.
To a Goodwill and they're like, oh, yikes. That's it right there.
So yeah. I, excuse me, did not watch this movie for the longest time. Like I had started it way back in the day, and this is the stupidest reason to not watch a movie. But whenever it was like, oh, Jeremy Sisto's in this. I'm turning it off.
I almost said that.
I am not a fan of Jeremy Sisto.
Is that
the main guy. I cannot quote unquote the good looking guy.
Oh yeah.
And I've never liked him like in anything. I think he's the poor man's poor man. And like whenever I first watched it, when Jeremy Sisto came on, I was like, I'm probably gonna turn this off now. But then I was really glad that I went ahead and watched it because he's not in it all that much.
No.
It's weird to see Anna Faris in a role kind of. And again, I looked it up and this was after Scary Movie 1 and 2. So she had some notoriety and doing this. I was like, oh, this is kind of an interesting turn. And I liked like the weirdness of her character too.
Yeah, that's something
her
I didn't really touch on.
Really?
She's just almost as weird.
She's DTF.
Because
for May, she
was.
But Jeremy Sisto's character is like a filmmaker, and his short film,
oh god,
like everybody is kind of fucked up. And that's the thing is that she's looking for somebody who likes weird,
right?
And she thinks she finds it in these people.
Yeah. Yeah, but they can't handle her.
Yeah, she's
because
just a little
she takes
more
really weird.
She goes.
Oh boy.
Yeah, she goes to the nth degree.
She really does.
And I definitely agree because my complaint with a lot of horror films is that they fall flat in the end. And this ending, while it doesn't completely tie up everything, it's so creepy and so great. And it's like, is it happening or is this manifestation of her own?
Yeah.
Like breakdown, but I thought it just worked and I was happy with
it. No, I do agree. I do love the whole, like, the last 20 minutes or so were really, really great.
But there are some parts, like, there's a weird aside with the school for the blind.
Those poor kids.
She, like, goes and talks to. It was just a weird moment, like I think
that's just another thing to lead her into her breakdown.
It was just a weird thing. And it, like, weird, like it's a lot of weird stuff, whether it's like the weird lady that she talks to like get the job, and I'm like, guys, again, I think there are a little more requirements to working with children even in 2003. Just be like, hey, do you have any certification to work with blind children? Okay,
I got this creepy doll. Whatever. Does that work? Sure.
No.
So
speaking of the guy, so what's that guy's name that you don't like?
Jeremy Sisto.
So all through this movie, she's obsessed with this guy's hands. Like, she's always touching them, rubbing it on her face. Like, she's obsessed with these hands. And you come to find out she's taken parts of people that she meets and is building, like, her perfect friend.
Yeah.
So obviously she's going to take his hands, right? Do you know what his character's name was?
Oh, no.
His first name was Adam. Do you know what his last name was?
Manos?
Stubbs.
Yes! I approve.
That is pretty good.
All right.
That being said, I think she took his whole arm.
No, maybe she
because the punk rock guy.
Yeah, his
name was Blank.
You recognize
tattoos on
that guy from Independence Day.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I will say, but, real quick, Speaking of directors, though, after I watched this, I watched a lot of this guy's other films.
Uh-huh.
And Into the Woods is actually a pretty good one, and I recommend it.
You talked about Into the Woods pretty recently, I feel like.
It may have been a different Into the Woods.
Oh, okay.
I would have to imagine, because I know I haven't probably mentioned this one.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different thing.
Maybe you're thinking of the musical
Into the
Woods.
But this is not that one. But Bruce Campbell's in this, and he's in it way more than I would have thought. Huh. And it's...
Right on.
I mean, he's done it. He's done a couple. His name is Lucky McKee, the director.
Yeah.
He's done a couple other films.
He had a cameo in May. He was the guy in the elevator who was making out with her.
I feel like I looked up his career, and there was something else, though, that I was like, oh, he directed this.
He did The Woman, Red, and then just one recently. I don't think that's the one with...
Okay.
Not the Bruce Willis.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to stop myself before I say that.
And maybe
But Into the Woods is the one that I would recommend. So.
All right.
Should we come back to me?
Let's go ahead and knock out funny games.
Oh,
you don't want to. You don't want to end with funny games.
No.
All right.
That's kind of a misnomer.
Funny games. 2007 has Naomi Watts, Tim Roth, Michael Pitt.
Wait, I watched Funny Farm.
Also
I don't
scary.
Know what that is.
It's a Chevy Chase movie.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I don't.
That's
know.
a lot better.
Because I hate Chevy Chase.
A lot better.
Okay. Uh-oh. So Ryan's tipping his hand.
No.
Okay.
I was going to make fun of your choice for a Chevy Chase movie. And
Foul play. Hey, foul play. I will defend foul play.
Guys,
we don't have that kind of time.
Defend it.
Funny Games.
Funny Games is kind of like a home invasion type movie where this family, Tim Roth and Naomi Watts and their son, who's like 11 or so, they go to their lake house or something like that. And when they get there,
it's like a Martha's Vineyard type
kind of
place,
like, it's really, really nice. You can tell they have money. And pretty much as soon as they get there, Michael Pitt and his friend, whose name I don't know off the top of my head, they basically weasel their way into the house by asking if they have any eggs. So they can bring their neighbor wants to borrow eggs. So they get in, and then from there, they just play some really crazy mind games with these people, and then they end up like holding them hostage and basically making them, the family, do all these really messed up things as like a sense of power. Like, mm-hmm. I can make you do this, and they like take so much joy in making the worst things happen, and it was so terrifying, and I'm scarred for life from this movie. Like, you know, like when you watch Requiem for a Dream,
mm-hmm.
that movie ended, and you're like, you felt different. Like, this movie ended, and I felt kind of changed.
Yeah.
I thought it was really well done, and I thought it was a really good movie, but fuck.
It's a hard watch.
God, it was so hard. It was awful.
Oh,
it just really fucked with your head.
Yeah. And I talked to you when you got here, and while you knew it was a remake, you didn't realize it was a remake of his own movie.
Yeah.
Like Haneke.
No. So you can talk about that.
Yeah, Haneke, it was 10 years before he had made a German film, Funny Games, same, almost shot for shot.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And I guess if you read the criticisms of it, they'll tell you that this movie is about, you know, the violence, our obsession with watching violence and how we become an active participant in that. And in this movie, because they break the fourth wall a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, it becomes our interaction
mm-hmm.
in that.
Yeah,
and
like we're like a participant.
Right.
In
oh,
what
yeah,
they're
definitely.
Doing.
Yeah.
Now, I do. I enjoy this movie. It's not one. I rewatched it and I was prepared. Like I had a drink and I was like, all right, I'm rewatching Funny Games tonight because when I watched the first time, I was like, this is a one and done.
Yeah.
But I think we've actually even talked about this movie.
Yeah.
Either on a show, like not like a full podcast, but just like.
Well, it was weird because I actually thought that maybe I wrote a review for it and I kept looking on the site for a review and couldn't find one.
Yeah.
But yeah, we talked about this film. Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys like, what do you guys think?
I actually like this film as well. I think originally I was kind of a little put off by the fact that they used the remote control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that...
I liked it better this time.
Well, I think that originally I was like, look, here's the thing. Like, I feel like the point of the remote is this is what you think would happen in this sort of film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the point where they get their comeuppance.
Right. This is your... As much as you can get a happy ending, this is
right.
what
yeah.
it's going to be.
But guess what? Yeah. That's not going to happen.
Right.
And originally, when I watched it, I thought that they should just play it out. Like, just do what you're going to do, and when you watch it, you'll be like, oh, shit, I didn't see that coming. But now I kind of like the idea that they're saying, this is what you think would happen, and here's what's going to happen.
Well, and it gives you that sense of relief that you don't get through this movie. Like, there's no break. It's just unrelenting torture the entire time. And so you think, oh, okay, finally these characters are finally going to get there. They're going to get out. They're going to, you know, they're going to escape these characters. It's like, just kidding. We have ultimate control of the situation. Mm-hmm. We're bringing
maybe,
it back.
Yeah, maybe let's pause for a second. Roy, the scene that we're talking about, can you actually explain this scene? Because we're talking our way around it without actually talking.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So what happens, it's toward the end, the two guys.
Just real quick, I thought there was, did they not use it twice? I thought they used that twice.
They only use it once.
No, it's just one time. So they have Naomi Watts, like, in this situation, and it's like, it's all very, very tense. And long story short, Naomi Watts gets the drop on these guys who are not paying too much attention, and there's a shotgun on the coffee table, and she's able to get down, get the shotgun, and shoot one of the guys, and it blows him across the room in this very graphic, powerful moment. And I was actually like, oh shit, like, I didn't see it coming at all. And then Michael Pitt, who's like the leader of the guys, is like, no, like, where's that remote? And he like pulls the couch cushions up, he finds the remote, hits a rewind button, and then the whole scene rewinds up to the point where Naomi Watts finds a shotgun, and then he stops her, and then it plays off like, boom, you got the upper hand. But I like that shot ended, or that when the movie ended, I was talking to Kira about it, my wife, and she's like, or I was like, what was that remote thing about? Like, that was crazy. And she just had a really good thought. Like, it was just his control of the whole thing.
And it's kind of like what Drew was saying, like, as a viewer being an active participant, it plays into that as well.
Yeah.
And the reality is that while we expected the happy ending, I think there's a certain kind of like weird voyeuristic thing in the fact that, spoiler, everybody dies. Like, the family dies in this, and unceremoniously, because they have a bet with them that, like, by 9 a.m. the next morning, you guys won't be alive.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the end of this movie. Like, the husband's dead, the child's dead. They've got Naomi Watts out on the boat in the lake. They've got her, like, hands tied and feet tied. And they're like, oh, what time is it? Oh, it's a little after 8. Sorry. And then push her off the boat and just let her drown.
He's like, he kisses her on the cheek and he's like, see you, sweetheart. And he pushes her off the boat. But it's, and so, like, you don't.
It's so unceremonious.
It's so.
I do believe that what he was trying to accomplish, like, it works. Like, it. Mm-hmm. I do understand. Like, sometimes it's, you hear like, oh, well, this was about this. And you're like, no, I'm pretty sure that was not what that was about.
Yeah.
But this, you can be like, oh, I understand that you're saying, like, the way that we kind of salivate at the idea of, like, this violence. And especially at the time when, like, torture porn type horror was happening, and we just couldn't get enough of hostels and things like that. So this is one where, like, they give you the violence. Sometimes they give it to you off screen, which is thankful sometimes.
Yeah.
But even whenever they give you the glimmer of hope, they'll quickly snatch that away from you. And
oh boy!
But yeah, but then the original happened way before the torture porn.
Yeah,
yeah.
So ahead of its. Oh,
right.
I mean,
yeah. But then, like, through the the beginning of the movie, when the family's like driving to their house, they pull over to their neighbors and they're like, "Hey!" And then those two guys, like Michael Pitt and his buddy, are with those neighbors, and they're like, "Oh, hey!" And they have this interaction. Then you go through the movie and those neighbors are like, hey, you saw me with your neighbor. And that's how they get into the house, because they're like, oh, you're okay, guy.
Yeah.
And then they go through this awful movie. And at the beginning kind of of their like kidnapping, they meet other neighbors that Michael Pitt introduces himself to. And then at the end of the movie, after they throw Naomi Watts off the boat, they go to the next house down. And it's like, oh, hey, I saw you with her yesterday.
Can we have some eggs?
Can we have some eggs? And he gets himself in. So they start the whole thing, and they're just like going just down the line of houses. Like, oh my god! Like,
it's unsettling. I can't.
Oh,
yeah.
It's so awful.
Yeah.
So it's. I mean, it's not an easy watch.
No.
But it's worth watching, and we haven't talked about it at all. But like, Naomi Watts and her acting in
this. Oh man, she is
like,
so
it's
good.
Great. And like the physicality of the role, and like the amount of like despair you can see on her face, like.
Yeah,
it's all
she's amazing.
Yeah, and it's one of those like in a room movies where it's like it's all self-contained within one space.
Yeah.
So it really forces the actors and actresses to, you know, really carry this movie. Which
I mean, I thought everybody was good in this.
Michael Pitt.
Michael Pitt
so
was
terrifying.
He was terrifying in this.
I think the asides that he always takes with like breaking the fourth wall and everything, I think to me are the most unsettling. Like, because he's talking to you and it's like, right. Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
And you're not safe from this.
When he gets in the house at the end with the next set of neighbors, and she's like, "Oh yeah, I'll go. Let me check the kitchen." And he just like turns straight into the camera and gives this like smirk, like, mm-hmm. "Again, here we go." Like he just is enjoying it so much.
Yeah.
And I'm just traumatized.
Well, and the fact that they never explain these two characters, like Peter and Paul, they have no motivation other than they're just
having fun.
Yeah.
They just want, like, they're having control over everything, and they're just
having
fun.
That's it. And that's even more unsettling.
So, yeah.
Funny games. Good recommendation. A weird one when you suggested it. I was like, oh, an odd choice.
Well, I think a weird one from Roy in particular.
Well, yeah.
Who
we
put,
just
Hocus Pocus on
here. I know, right?
Like, he picked the darkest horror movie.
Well, we had just watched it, so it was, like, really fresh in my brain. Okay. Like, we had watched it the night before, randomly, because, you know, Kira had seen it before, and it was Friday the 13th, and we're like, oh, let's watch something like really scary tonight. And she came up with that.
Yeah, that's dark.
We're all kind of
super dark,
anticipating what The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown was going to be.
I wish I had. I wish, guys.
Last on our list is Ryan's choice.
Oh, I thought you were going
to. No, I'm not getting into it.
I picked Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon. This is a movie about a documentary crew who. I don't know if it's actually, I did not rewatch this. I don't know if it's actually explained, but they find a, let's call him a serial killer. He's kind of wants to be the next big slasher, like Mike Myers or Jason, and those are all just mythological.
When those characters actually exist
in this world. Yeah, because part of the footage is like them going to Elm Street.
They do reference
Freddy Krueger, Mike Myers, and
so he's not
Jason
really. So he's
Ford,
literally
yeah.
a slasher. He yeah. literally yeah. wants to be the next slasher, and he contacts a documentary crew, and he wants to take them through like how he's going to become the next great slasher.
Yeah,
and it is the first three quarters of the movie are shot documentary style, and then the last quarter of the movie is shot horror movie style, just regular.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I freaking love this movie. I had never heard of it before, but I watched it last night, and I just sat there, my jaw was just agape, because I was like, this is genius. Like, I loved it from start to finish. I thought the documentary stuff was really great, especially when they take the asides and they kind of build back to horror tropes and everything like that. But I love it midway, three quarters of the way through, when it just turns on a head and it turns into a straight horror movie. And I thought that was just fantastic.
Right.
Kudos to recommending this.
And that
movie
could have kind of taken the film in the wrong direction.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
It's all of a sudden like where we're taking what we've done for the last three quarters of the movie and trashing it.
Exactly.
And setting up almost a new film.
Well, and I love that they got Kane Hodder to be in this. They got
Robert
Englund.
Englund.
Yeah. And
playing the Donald
Doc,
Pleasance character.
And I love that his name was Doc Halloran.
Yeah.
Going to The Shining. Yeah. And, yep. So I mean, like, there's so many little just Easter eggs within this movie that even if you're not a horror fan,
you should
know. Take away from watching the movie.
And the woman from Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Zelda Rubinstein.
Poltergeist.
Yeah.
The car from Evil Dead was in there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yep.
No, I thought it was great too. I really had a lot of fun with it, and I was kind of nervous. I saved your pick for last, Ryan, because I know you're such a horror fan.
Oh, yeah.
And I do get scared, and I just assumed that you were going to pick something just, like, horrific. So I waited.
Funny games.
I know, right? I know. I never thought it would be me. I didn't know it would be me. So
Well, Sean came in a close second because May is pretty disturbing as well. But
that's weird though that you and I went with a lighter tone.
Yeah,
we're going straight for it.
Definitely
yeah.
flipped it.
Yeah,
but I didn't know anything about it. I didn't do any research. So I just hit play, and it started up with this like documentary, and then it was like really funny. I thought it was really good. I did. I thought it was very smart, and I thought it was very, very fun.
And this is one, again, that Ryan recommended me years ago, and I watched it, and it was just like the first time I was like, this to me is what I wanted from like something like Scream.
Yeah.
While I enjoy the first Scream, this one just does like such like a better job at delving into that world and showing you like, oh, what it would actually take, where he's like, you have no idea how much cardio.
That was great.
You know,
or like I love that scene.
him doing the fishing line and like to pull the brick and like right. pre-sawing limbs on a tree and all of that stuff. Yeah. And I thought it was so clever in the way that they delivered it. And even the Scott Harris role, for anybody out there, it's
Herschel.
Herschel from Walking Dead.
Mm. Scott Glenn.
Yeah.
Scott Wilson.
Scott Wilson.
Scott whatever.
Scott Glenn is someone else.
But they show him as a guy who used to be a slasher, and now he just, like, he has a wife, and it's their scenes are so pleasant, and they're, like, such a homely couple, and they're, like...
having dinner together.
Yeah, they're all really great, but they, you know, he talks about, like, oh, coming up, you know, it was Jason and Michael Myers. These guys changed the game by... Yeah. Creating that kind of the idea of like a curse of these characters that they come back. And I thought it was all great. And then whenever they do switch it from a documentary to a real life thing, you see them still fall into all the tropes, but it all works so well. And I recommend this movie to so many people and it's just like, it's so funny and such a good horror film.
Yeah.
Well, I think, I think that's great how like, even though he tells you exactly how it's going to pan out, and then it pans out that way, instead of being repetitive, it just seems genius.
Well, and he's got kind of a backup plan to it, too. So, like, the documenters get involved in the situation to try and prevent him from killing, and it's like, well, he actually already thought of this, and he's like, I already know these guys are probably going to turn on me, so I've got a whole contingency plan if that were to happen.
Yeah.
And then he carries through with it. So.
I think even less than that, not if that was happened, but always assuming this was the plan
all along.
That was the plan the whole time.
Yeah, with the reveal of...
Yeah. So, yeah. And this is why I don't want to go too much because it is...
It's good enough.
It is. I was so glad. I was worried that you were not going to pick this, and it was actually my original pick, thinking that you would go with something else. So when you said that, I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to go with seven.
Well, the reason I actually ended up picking this is because this is, like, its 10th year anniversary, and they actually... finally kickstarted a comic book
to be
a follow-up for it. So,
and they still, on IMDb, it's got Before the Mask listed as in production. So they've been trying to make
the
sequel forever. Because I assume you guys watch the credits.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, and I like that, too, that it's just weird morgue security footage. And
I love that they used Talking Head's Psycho Killer as the end theme. I thought that was perfect.
And the guy who plays Leslie Vernon is very charming and very funny. And
when he's like giddy, like talking about everything, he's like, oh man, I can't wait to show you guys.
Nathan Basil.
He kind of does delve into like the psychology of it. It's like, no, like you have to have me. Like I am like the balance of the scale for everything that we want to believe in. You have to have this. And I'm like, I really like that kind of stuff and talking about like, you know, the phallic nature of a lot of horror and then trying to explain like the other, I can't remember, the opposite of a phallic nature. And he's like,
oh,
do you get what this is?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like the
get
birth
it.
Canal. Yeah. So I think this is a good one to watch.
Yeah.
All, I mean, it's easy to put in and you can pull a lot from it. And,
oh yeah.
If, especially if you're a horror movie fan. If you're not a huge horror movie fan,
I mean, but that's the thing. Is like, even if you don't get all of the references,
you'll get enough of them.
Everybody knows who, like, the big three. Like, when they talk about Jason, Freddy, and Michael Myers, you at least know them. And then once you delve further into horror movies, you can pull out The Shining and the fact that Robert Englund is supposed to play the guy from Halloween movies, that guy who just... always shows up right at
Ahab,
the right time. Yeah,
the Ahab.
And they're so excited.
I love it because like the
we got
the terminology.
Ahab. We got
oh,
Ahab.
The terminology is like, oh, she's my survivor girl.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when he's talking to like the retired slasher, he's like, yeah, I'm thinking about killing her best friend. He's like, well, maybe
I don't
like,
know about that.
Do you know anybody? Like, oh, the librarian.
Jackpot.
And like his wife is not disgusted. She's like trying to help him out. She's like, oh, I've heard the killing thing's really going well for you. And it's just so pleasant. Like,
I did read a bit of trivia for it, and I don't know if anybody else has seen Black Christmas.
Yes.
Okay.
Both the original and we watched the remake.
No, I've seen both of them.
So,
the remake was
terrible. It wasn't explicit.
Bat Cookies, though, was pretty good.
That was. All
right. It wasn't explicitly stated, but Scott Wilson's character was supposed to be a grown-up Billy.
I don't remember that far into it.
Okay.
It's been too long.
So. I just thought that was kind of a cool aside.
I definitely watched the original after I watched the new one.
Yeah.
And the new one was
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah.
But it had
the dude make cookies by carving people's back skin.
Margot Kidder. Margot Kidder was in the original.
Was it not?
In the new one, it's Michelle Trachtenberg?
Yeah, yeah.
Or Mary Elizabeth Winstead, one of the two.
I think it's Michelle Trachtenberg.
That sounds right.
No, but anyway, that's neither here nor there.
So again, like for the most part, no one hated anything.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, when everybody sent me their, I had already seen all of them, and I was like,
"Yep,
I love all these movies."
I had, like I said, I had to revisit May, and was able to get past Jeremy Sisto and enjoyed it. But
I appreciate you trudging through the Sisto.
I had to watch all of them. I'd never heard of any of them, except for Funny Games, which I had never heard of until the previous night.
So
it was like a fun way to just watch all these new movies that I had never heard of. It was a good experience, and I've been having nightmares every night.
You're welcome.
So look, if you're listening to this, please let us know, what are your favorite horror movies? We've been posting all month long. We've had a lot of different people. We've all posted individual lists of some of our favorites.
Yeah.
At dinner tonight, maybe I'll talk to Ryan about why I didn't like Candyman when I watched it for the first time.
Yeah, I did hear that. Yeah.
But yeah, let us know what your favorite ones. You can contact us on Facebook, Coming Off the Reels, Twitter at Off the Reels, email us at comingoffthereels@gmail.com. Am I missing anything? Rate and review the show anywhere you listen to it. I know we're out there all over the place, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and a number of other services. But we'd love to hear from you. Both good and bad reviews are welcome, though preferably good.
We don't really want to create fans like May. Right. It's not really going to work.
I will
for
build
us.
Fans. Like, I will come to your house.
Why not?
So until next time, guys, maybe we got to start thinking about watching Thanksgiving for our Thanksgiving special.
I think we need to.
Oh, boy.
I'm in.
until next time, my name is Drew Martin.
I'm Ryan Benson.
Sean McClain.
I'm Roy King.
And this has been Coming Off the Reels. Don't touch me, I'm a real life wife.